Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information, and support.
Cleaning Up by Barry Hill. One of my least favourite chores is cleaning. Well, when I say least favourite, I don't actually think it is in my list of favourite chores at all. What's the antonym of favourite? That's where cleaning will be, in that list. Part of my loathing, that's the word, is that a lot of it is just guesswork for me, and because it is guesswork, I have to make more of an effort. For example, when I'm vacking, I do one stroke and then the next stroke has to overlap the first stroke, but I can't see where that stroke was, so I just about go over the same area as the first stroke with the second stroke. And then the third stroke just about goes where the second stroke was, and so on. Put it this way. If I was painting a wall the same, it would be an inch thick before I was done. What could take a sighted person 10 minutes takes me 20 or more. There's also the problem of working around things. As you know, we have a dog. As such, we have dog toys on the floor. I keep my shoes and boots under my bed, have my talking book machine on my bedside cabinet, and my computer sits on the floor next to my desk. Dog toys have trailing tails and the like. My shoes have laces, my talking book has headphones, and my PC charger cable has charger cables hanging off it. Remember the vac? Well, it's pretty vicious. It has to be to get the dog hairs up. However, as well as being good at pulling barbed hairs out of the carpet, it's good at eating cables, laces, headphones, and dog toys. Sometimes I manage to wrestle the vac and get the items back unharmed, but there have been many times when it's like a useful white paper being sent to the European Parliament by a well-meaning backbencher. All you get back is chewed up piece of tat that's no use to man nor beast. When I lived on my own with a yellow lab, I thought it was a good idea to use the upright vac upright on the stairs. Genius, eh? Well, not quite. What I would do is stand the vac on each step and drag it backwards and forwards. It wasn't until weeks later, when someone asked if I was trying to turn my burgundy steps blonde, that I figured out what was going wrong. You know how the adverts for Dyson vacs brag about 1,000,001 patents? Well, one of them might be that when you stand the vac upright, the beater stops and the suction is diverted to the hose that I'm being too lazy to wrestle with up and down the stairs. I've thought about buying one of those robot vacs. They can detect obstacles and just vac around them. You program them to do the vacuuming in the middle of the night and then just empty them in the morning. They can't do steps though, so I'd probably have to buy three of the buggers to do my little house. I wonder if they can detect dead dog toys and charger cables. The other problem I have with cleaning is cleaning products. We have spray bottles for this, for that, and even for the other. I'd tell you what they are for, but frankly I don't actually know. I suspect that if I could read the ingredients, then I'd discover that they're all similar. Go on, have a look at yours. In fact, my theory is that the manufacturers start off with this huge vat of clear cleaning solution that will clean just about anything, and then they siphon it off into 30 or 40 smaller vats and add different perfumes and colours. Oops. I think I might have single-handedly killed Lever Brothers. Got to say, if it was down to me, I'd use the all-purpose spray for everything. I mean, it's all-purpose, so why have that and another one for cleaning windows? Another one for the sink? Another one for the floor? And another one for the shower? Same with cleaning cloths. We, and when I say we, I mean the wife, buy multi-purpose disposable cleaning cloths. They're great. They clean just about anything, but they don't clean leather chairs, railwood furniture, screens, or my arsehole. Oh no. We have to get separate cloths for each of those tasks. Granted, it's probably a good thing that we have separate ones for cleaning bums. You know, I think we have at least three cupboards of cleaning products. My granny had three cleaning products, and one of those was elbow grease. It's not just my wife who's obsessed with cleaning products. We bought a steam mop. This time, the royal we is actually me. I thought it would be easier than dragging the mop and bucket all over the house. It is actually a lot easier than the mop and bucket, and it feels quite manly operating it. But it's not ideal mostly because we can never find the special cloth that goes on it. Mental note, buy more special cloths. The other problem with it is that the bath isn't big enough. The bath on the steamer, not our bath, we don't have one. Consequently, there is only enough steam in it to do the kitchen floor, and then we have to let it cool down before we can open the special nanny safety valve to fill it up again to clean the bathroom floor. It takes half an hour to cool down, so a quick job takes nearly an hour. If I win the big one, the first thing I'm going to do is employ a cleaner. Well, maybe not the first thing. To be honest, it'll probably be on the list of things to do when I get home from the 6-month holiday. Still, I bet the wife will want to clean up before they come. Well, she can do that herself. Does My Bum Look Big in This? By Barry Hill. I was recently asked how I pick my clothes in the morning. A lot of time it is by memory, but I do regularly use the tried and tested fingers crossed that this goes with this method. The memory thing works okay when the garment is distinctive, like my favourite weird fish top that has a very distinctive weave, although I must confess that I can't remember what colour it is, so that one also crosses over into the fingers crossed category. Of late, I've also started to adopt the I don't give a shit as long as I'm warm or cool enough and comfortable method of picking my clothes, and I'm sure that I will progress from there to the whatever I grab first method given half a chance. There are some mornings when I envy the Trappist monks who only have sackcloth to wear, or the director Alfred Hitchcock who only had dark suit, dark tie and white shirts in his wardrobe when he had a film on the go. His reasoning was that he didn't want to get distracted by having to choose his clothes in the morning. I like his thinking. Even without a film on the go, it can be a right royal pain in the backside trying to choose what to wear when you can't see what you have to wear. It's not too bad for every day. I have jeans and fleecy tops in a variety of colours that I don't really need to bother about that fit the Hitchcock theory nicely. The problem arises when I either want to dress right down or dress up. Dressing down means a t-shirt. Now, I'll let you into my head for a short while. It is perhaps a little scary, but here goes. I was thinking about the word t-shirt and wondered if I should write it here with a capital T. I assume the use of this letter has something to do with the shape of the garment, and using a lowercase t would make for a very odd-shaped shirt, possibly designed for a one-armed man with a bum bag on his hip. However, somehow recalling my grammar school English teacher Mr. Eastwood, with the unimaginative nickname of Clint, then I got to thinking about grammar and wondered if t-shirt is a proper noun, warranting an initial capital. Intellectual snobbery taking the higher ground to visuals, I am blind after all, and a self-confessed intellectual snob, I decided that it wasn't a proper noun, and so I am forced to ignore the imagery that the name must have originally been based on and correct for grammar. One-armed man it is, then. I'm not always thinking like this, but it is often enough to have to fight it in my head, and maybe something I need to talk to a shrink about one day. Back to the story. So what's the issue with the t-shirt? You'd think that it wouldn't matter which one I wore with shirt, shorts or jeans. Well, I think it would matter if I wore the t-shirt out and about that I wore to bed a few nights ago. I thought it was a little snug, but I didn't notice the diamantes around the neck until the morning. It was one of Angie's. Now don't get me wrong, I'm not normally a cross-dresser. It's just that I can't always tell whose shirts I'm putting in my drawer, and once it's in my drawer, then, perhaps according to Schrödinger's law, it must be my t-shirt. Well, I have to blame someone, and who better than the hypothetical cat-murdering Schrödinger? It would also be inappropriate to wear my If I Throw This Stick Will You Fetch It t-shirt when I'm out with my mum who walks with a walking stick. I don't think the FCUK one would go down too well in polite company, ignorant of the acronym for French Connection United Kingdom either. Plus, apparently, some of my t-shirts are old. I mean, surely, they are only old
when there's more than the usual four holes or the neckline becomes baggier than the waist. No, apparently when they start to become transparent or the stains start to look like a Rorschach ink block test, well, then they are also old. As for dressing up, that means a shirt and trousers. Now, there's not much distinction in my collection with these garments. Look at me. Collection. You'd think I had a walk-in wardrobe full of them, segregated for each season. Well, actually, I do have a lot of shirts, and they are segregated into short and long sleeves. Well, what else do you buy a middle-aged man for birthday or Christmas other than a new iPhone if you really must? But a shirt. Trousers are also pretty ubiquitous. Cotton, two legs, three pockets. But they too come in a variety of colours. It's that colour thing that stumps me. Well, it does until I get out my trusty colour detector gadget. Yep, I have a gadget that, as it says on the tin, detects colours. The thing is, if I believed what this gadget said, I would think that all my clothes are either dark grey, purple, or light grey. Did I call it trusty? Well, that's trusty in as far as I would trust a front bench minister with my disability benefit claim. I know it can do other colours, as my forehead is orange, and my dog is green, but it seems fixated on dark grey, purple, or light grey. When I want to wear a shirt that doesn't clash with my burgundy trousers, yes, I've got some burgundy coloured trousers, what of it? I have asked my talking mirror, Angie. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's wearing the coolest shirt of them all? I do regularly ask her if what I'm wearing looks okay. Having to do so, I empathise with the gripe women have when asking their beloved if they look okay in this and that, because it's rare that I get any comment other than, yeah, you look fine. Well, granted, this may be accurate, but, well, actually, my love, I was trying for a different look to fine. I was trying for something that says intellectual but approachable today, as the slightly aloof but happy to discuss the weather look that I was going for yesterday failed miserably. On occasion, I do like to test my partner by putting something on inside out. And because I'm stubborn, if she doesn't notice, I will wear it inside out all day just to prove a point, even if I'm going out. So, when you notice that I've got my t-shirt on inside out, please don't take offence when I turn it the right way around and it says FC UK.
You can contact us by emailing podcast@vitalk.co.uk, on Facebook by searching for VI Talk, on Twitter @VITalkPodcast, and our website address is www.vitalk.co.uk.